welcome back to Beyond the Barbell, brought to you by Reebok, the official outfitter of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. I'm Blair Morrison, joined by Ben Alderman, and we're here at Wadapalooza, up in the DJ booth in the VIP area, talking live with Albert Dominic LaRouche and Paul Tremblay, both proud Canadians, sponsored by Reebok, sponsored by JackRx. They're here competing. Thanks for being on the show, guys.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
So, how long is the flight here down from Canada?
It was like a 3.5 hour flight, I think. Something like that. I had a leg. He was able to come direct. We're not from the same place in Canada, but yeah, it's not that bad.
You know, a lot of people talk about Wadapalooza being like one of the marquee events of the year. They kind of put it on their calendar and make sure they're here. Is this your guys' first time being here? Have you guys multiple times here at Wadapalooza?
I think Paul is his first year, but I was here last year with Team Athletigen. We won the Elite Division team. It was great, so I didn't want to miss that event.
So what do you think so far?
Well, the venue is really great, and it's bigger than last year. And, you don't want to miss that competition. I think it's great timing, and just before the open and stuff like that, for us to just test ourselves.
Yeah, it's kind of like the first major event of the season, right? You know, you get to come down to Miami. It's like when the PGA Tour opens and they're all over in the Bahamas or Dubai. They all show up for that event, right? And it's not just because they're excited to play golf. It's because they want to be in the warm weather. So for you guys, that's like in spades, man. It's all frozen up in Canada.
Yeah, right now it's absolute horrible weather. But we get used to it. Obviously, coming down here is fun. Get some warm weather, get to test ourselves. You know, compete a little bit. I don't compete much over the off season, or I haven't competed much since regionals, so this will be fun to do, and decided to do it on a team instead of an individual, because I heard a lot of really good things from last year and the year before, so looking forward to it.
Well, maybe each of you guys can speak to that uniquely, but Blair and I have talked about Wadapalooza being maybe like one of the events that kind of sets the tone for what we can maybe expect to see later on in the season from maybe CrossFit HQ or those different things. They're seeing kind of what's being programmed here, how the athletes are being able to handle it, because there's so many athletes, so the field is so deep, right? Do you think any of that's going on? Do you think they're spying on some of the workouts here, or kind of eyeballing what's really going down and the times that we're seeing?
I think Castro has his own plan. His own mind made up. I don't know if he gets influenced much by outside events like that, but definitely being able to see the different fields, see where the guys are at, that's huge. Being able to to see how fit the guys are getting over the off season, or how they're preparing, and seeing if their conditioning's up to speed for the open or whatnot. But like I said, like, it's for me, and I think for Albert as well, it's just getting out there and competing. Competing and getting ready for the open and getting the lungs fired up a little bit.
Yeah, talk about your guys' team. Now you're on Team JackRx, the two of you guys. Who's the third team member?
Charles Phelps Leduc.
He's also a Canadian?
Also a French-Canadian, yeah.
Okay, so we got 3 for 3, JackRx. Is that a French-Canadian company?
They're a Canadian company, but they're from Toronto.
Canada. Okay,
yeah.
All right, maybe you guys can talk a little bit about, other than just getting out here and having some fun, like, how good a team are you guys? Is this going to be a push for the podium, challenge the Smith brothers and, the past champions, everything?
Of course, we're coming here, I think, to have fun, but to win, too, also that's part of the plan. I think we have a pretty good team to give it a good run, but there's a lot of big name here, so just compete and see where you're sitting in the field that's so deep of the athletes, and there's a lot of big names, so it's gonna be fun just to test yourself and have fun here and train together, right?
This guy's being humble, but they won last year. Okay, he was on the winning team last year. Sure, of course, he put a team together this year to come and repeat, I guess. But the people he was on the team with last year was Fikowski and Mitch Bernard. And Fikowski's here walking around talking a lot of trash, so I think he really wants to win as well. But probably a rude awakening for him.
I've heard a lot of the trash talk going from Fikowski back and forth. Some of that stuff on Instagram, Travis Williams saying some stuff, about different teams. Team flying under the radar, I'm telling you, my team with Kalipa and Chris out of NorCal, we're going to do some damage today. So
I took a look at the heats last night, and the elite men division is pretty stacked. There's a lot of really good teams. It's going to be fun for sure.
Yeah. Is there any events that have been released that you guys are really feeling like you guys are going to, you know, dominate or do really, really well on?
They all look pretty good, to be honest. All the events are... Anytime it's a team event, you're able to pick and choose whoever's doing what and who's working together. And Albert and I have... We've competed together on a team before, so we have a little bit of chemistry. So, we're, you know, pretty much any event is looking good. I'm looking forward to the first one, Heavy Fran with Chestabar. That's a cool one. It's going to hurt. It's going to sting real hard. It's going to get us really fired up for the rest of the weekend. So, yeah, looking forward to that one.
If you can, like, compare the vibe of just what you've seen yesterday and today here in Miami, the location, the setup of all the events, to like other events like regionals, like the games, like the... you know, like the invitational, the international stuff. Like, how does the vibe here compare? What are the differences? What are the similarities?
For myself, I think it's less stressful here. It's like I think more fun. I enjoy like to be here and just to be with the people and just it's less stressful. Like you said, Reginald, you need to qualify for the games, so you're fighting your way to just make it to the games. And it's like a big festival, so I think everyone here is like the vibe is relaxed and everyone wants to have fun and just do CrossFit, right?
Yeah, it's really cool. I think there's so many people here walking around between the three different workout, you know, stages that it makes it so everybody kind of has to, you know, be a little bit more humble, a little bit more accessible, a little bit more vulnerable to the fans, you know, to the people just walking around who kind of appreciate our sport on a yearly basis. You know, maybe look up to you guys for different reasons, you know, some workout they saw you do, and then now all of a sudden they're sharing, you know, the grandstands with you or a porta potty with you or standing in the same line for some food with you. You know, it's pretty cool stuff.
I think they really nailed it with calling it a festival instead of just a competition or whatnot. I mean, it is truly that. People are just walking around, all these vendors, and there's, you know, a stage there, a stage over here, a stage there. People are just walking around enjoying the whole atmosphere. That's what's really fun, and just seeing people that we compete against on a, you know, on a yearly basis, but in more of a relaxed scenario, even though we all want to win. I mean, it's just... it's pretty fun to see everybody and just hang out.
Yeah, and there's families too. It's not just athletes or like single spectators. Obviously, there's kids walking around. There's, you know, mothers and fathers, things like that. Speaking of which, Paul, you're a new dad, right?
Yeah, I am.
You want to speak to that experience? How's that changed your 2017?
Well, it hasn't impacted 2017 just yet. You know, we just turned that page, but my son was born in September, end of September, so he's almost 4 months now. And I told myself I would take, you know, September to January to just get used to the whole, you know, being a father and training and running a gym and doing seminars and everything is going really well. Honestly, I have a rock star wife, so she's great. I'm able to train, and I know you guys are fathers as well, and, you know, being able to train and still find time for family, it's tough. And even just being here this weekend is tough. Being away for 5 days from the little guy is difficult, but it's part of the job. And it's, you know, I think I'm staying fit, so at least I can speak to that. But
no dad bod yet. Yeah.
We're
right.
Revolutionizing the dad bod. Actually.
Yeah, it's a new dad bod.
Exactly.
Right? It's a
I
new
like
dad
that.
Bod. Yeah, I got four kids, right? So my wife actually carried them. Brought him here last year, right? We had double stroller, we had twin girls, right? The big rain, torrential rain, and so having a good wife, a good helper in that, boy, I tell you what, if you don't have that, you're done. Your fitness career is over.
Yeah, that's key. We were thinking of bringing him here this weekend, and maybe like a week before, like a week ago, we realized that even a 3-month-old needs a passport. So he doesn't have a passport yet, so maybe next year, or definitely we'll get that passport for regionals, because obviously we need one to, you know, come to the States. But
yeah, that's an expensive trip to bring the 4-month-old with a passport. Albert, you said your girlfriend's here competing as well, right?
Yeah, you're right. In the RX division, Team RX division. Yeah. So, like, we're a big crew from Canada here, just having fun. Yeah,
so Paul left his family at home. You brought your girlfriend with you, or she came on her own. So you actually have more family responsibilities this weekend than he does.
Well, we're going to see, right? We're going to see. Right now, it's not so bad, but we're going to see. Like,
What is it like, I mean, coming down here and having just so many people come down with you? You know what I mean? Like, cause I know I'm experiencing the same thing right now, but it feels like you're in this, like, remote area, but then you have all these people come down. I mean,
I guess it feels more like just like home, right? Training at home, and just, like, all your friends are here with you, all your family is here with you, so... just great. like the atmosphere is great, and like you feel like at home.
Are you guys planning on extending the trip, kind of being down in Miami and kind of the south warm weather a little bit longer afterwards?
Well, afterwards, we're going to the Bahamas, right?
That's right. The two of you guys will be joining me in the Bahamas.
Absolutely, yeah. So we're leaving Monday morning for the Bahamas for the Reebok Athlete Summit. So, yeah, we'll be enjoying a little warmer weather. Hopefully it's it's pretty much like this, right, in the Bahamas?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah. I mean, you're used to it. You're from the West Coast, right? California.
Bro, we've been getting killed by storms this winter.
Oh, really?
Like, not, I mean, in Sacramento, we don't get a lot of snow, but it's just torrential rain, flooding.
You get snow in Sacramento?
In the foothills.
Okay.
A little like up the, we're right on the edge of the Sierras, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not enough to have, like, frozen ponds or anything like that. Not a lot of hockey players.
Boots. Oh, you have to wear boots.
People wear boots.
Okay.
A lot of people wear stylish boots, not because they need to, just because they want to look like they need to. But yeah, man, so there's some real weather. It gets down in the close to freezing. We had some frosts overnight. Had to put blankets over my lemon trees, you know, so they don't.
But you guys can
them.
Run all year long outside, right?
Oh yeah,
you're doing running workouts all year.
Oh yeah, you can too.
Oh, I mean,
dude, Rocky IV, running in the snow, carrying logs.
Yeah, in Russia, training. Every time I run in the snow, that's what I think about. I just sing in my head, and that's what I think about.
I feel like for a running workout, the conditions have to be perfect, right? Like, I don't actually run unless I have to. So, yeah, conditions have to be perfect. Like, it's event 5 at regionals or something like that. Otherwise, I don't really run.
I actually hired a running coach this year up in Canada, and he was giving me all these runs to do outside, and it started snowing. I'm like, man, like, come on, dude. Like, it snowed last night. I don't care. Get yourself some gear and get up there. So I tried one time to go in like a minus 25 weather, which is Celsius. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit.
Minus 25 Celsius?
Yeah. I was supposed to go for like a 5K run. Went back in after 2 kilometers. Said, never mind. Screw this.
I don't know what that is, but that's like, I feel like that's minus 100 Fahrenheit.
Yeah. There's no, yeah, there, it's.
That's painful.
Because if you think freezing is what, like.
It's 32.
Oh, yeah.
But it gets further and further away.
Yeah, I don't understand this, the relationship between Fahrenheit and Celsius.
You guys are both affiliate owners, right?
Yes.
Maybe you guys could talk a little bit about how long that's been going, what it's like owning a business, being an athlete, having a family now. Like, you gotta kind of gotta wear a lot of hats and divide your time and focus. Just talk about what you guys see. Well, how's the Canadian market? How's the business going? What are the new things coming up?
For my part, like my gym is open for like two years and a half. Just a bit, like I think Paul is like 3 years or something like this. Business is going great. Like, what's helping me, because I have another work, it's just I have an incredible partner who's doing a lot of stuff in the gym. The business is going well. Like, it's not the States, but like, I enjoy having the small community out there and just training with my friends and having family all around. And I think that's a big part of having a box and just like running it, is having all the family around and just enjoying it.
Yeah, doing it for the right reasons, right?
Yeah. The market in Canada is a little—it's very different than here, even Miami or anywhere in the States. I know that there's more affiliates in California alone than there is in Canada. You know, so it's a different, little bit of a different market. But
how far is the furthest affiliate from you, or the nearest affiliate from you?
It's still pretty close. Like, I'm in a city of 1 million people in Ottawa, and there's about 20 affiliates. So it's still not bad. Like,
no, it's not bad at all.
Yeah.
How many do we have in Sacramento?
50.
We have 50 in Sacramento, and we are. Not 1 million strong.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe with the greater... The metro area is about 1 million. Okay, 2 million, okay.
Yeah, and, you know, so it's still... there's still a little bit of... you know, as an affiliate owner, you guys know the daily battles of defending CrossFit a little bit, and that's still a little prevalent in Canada, but we're slowly winning, and there's more affiliates opening up. But I've been open for about 4 years. We're starting our fifth year, actually, and... Yeah, going strong. And we just expanded our gym. I have two awesome partners who allow me to being able to, you know, do this stuff and still travel and compete while they're like kind of at home taking care of the gym. But definitely wearing many hats, like you said, you know, competing, being an owner, a coach, all at the same time. Obviously, it's not comparable to having a full-time job and competing. You know, at least we're at the gym. I mean, we got a lot of things to do at the gym, but know, when a training session comes up, like we're there. You know, we can work out. So it's ideally it's the best case scenario, being an affiliate owner and a competitor. But I know like Albert's a full time police officer, right? So it's, I mean that's a little bit harder to get training in.
Like scariest arrest ever.
I don't want to run away from him.
No. You talked about the difference between the Canadian market and the States. You know, and it's but you got to expect that it'll follow a similar trajectory, right? Eventually. Do you guys, because of that, do you try to keep an eye on what things are going on in the States, and that way you can kind of be ahead of the curve in Canada?
Yeah, absolutely. I discuss, you know, best practices with so many gym owners in the States, like the guys in Boston and the guys on staff. I'm constantly talking to them about what works in their markets and whatnot. And what I often see is volume is the problem in Canada. We don't necessarily have the same volume of people who are interested yet. You know, so that's why I'm always trying to see how we can get more people involved in CrossFit. Not just in our city, but in Canada in general. You know, little companies popping up here and there. I know there's bigger Canadian companies who are making an impact on a world stage in CrossFit. So that definitely helps a lot.
Yeah, I think that's smart, man. We talk about this in the Bahamas every year, like what's going on in our gyms and in our markets. But I think you have such an advantage to have almost like what the U.S. is doing as like a petri dish, and like you can just see what the mistakes different cities make, the CrossFit affiliates and cities make, and the things that that work, and then what's successful. So taking advantage of that is going to be huge going forward.
There's so many. I mean, just the fact that we know gym owners in the States and we can talk to them, it doesn't mean that not everybody else has the same access. You know, there's so much documentation online of what works and what doesn't in what city. Like everyone, you know, is starting their little bit of their network of best practices. So, I mean, that's available for everybody. I know the CrossFit Journal does a really good job at publishing all that. So, I mean, if you're an affiliate owner, you have all the resources possible to make it work.
Does it seem like let me go back a little bit. Feels like CrossFit was really embraced first by law enforcement, military, fire, people like that. You know, the service providers in Canada, are they the ones who are kind of the grassroots of the CrossFit movement as well, or is it something else?
You're talking about like law enforcement stuff and like that?
Yeah, because like when CrossFit first started, right, it was mainly law enforcement, military, at least in the States was doing it.
In Quebec and Montreal, it's really not like this actually. Like it's getting it to change like slowly, but like for me, I work as a cop in Montreal, and like they're starting to switch, like because people are younger and people are doing CrossFit, but it's still the old methodology of training, and just like people don't CrossFit and people like have a bad opinion of CrossFit. So, but it's gonna change like with time, Like for my part, I didn't see it like that way in CrossFit in Quebec.
Yeah, that's really ironic because that's how it kind of grew. It got from its infancy to its like where it is now is really on the back of, you know, the United States military and law enforcement.
Right. So where do you think most of the interest is coming? Is it from the games and people wanting to see it on TV or where?
I think the games is giving a good publicity. Like it's of course it's helping, but. Like in another way, like people are looking at the games and say like it's impossible. Like I cannot reach that point of like of training. It's going to be too hard. But I think it's just like step by step, so small step. Like just people are talking to each other and just spreading the word. And like we're gonna destroy the myth of CrossFit and like what people think.
I thought that in the last year, we actually document when people walk in the door, we ask them, you know, how'd you hear about our gym, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, 90% of it is Google. And then last year, there was a lot of, I watched this movie on Netflix.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, wow.
There was so many times. It was our September was our biggest month, and I don't know the exact number, but so many people walked in and said, yeah, I watched this documentary on this, like, super fit guy, Rich, I think, like, oh yeah, cool, and then they come in and they want to try it, which I think is awesome because usually people will see maybe the games or a movie like that and think that Gabo said that it's unreachable, that it's, you know, it's that highest level. But I think people are starting to understand that there is a sport aspect and there is a fitness aspect, and you don't necessarily have to do the sport aspect or to look like that or to you know, to move all that weight to actually get the benefits from the program. So.
Dude, that's really, really interesting. I'll admit, I haven't seen the documentary. I know a lot of people have. They love it. But it must have done something to humanize, you know, like Rich and the athletes a little bit. Otherwise, people would think about it just as when they're watching the games, like, oh, these guys are, you know, superhuman or gladiators. Like, that's never going to be me. Like, there must have been something in there that made it more accessible, more relatable.
I just always, when people do say that, like, oh, I watch the games, I can't do that. There's no way. I say, well, do you watch any other professional sports? That you're doing it as a sport and for fun, but obviously maybe for 99% of us or 99.99% of us, that will never be achievable, and that's okay.
Yeah, I did watch The Fittest on Earth, and I felt like it really did do what Blair was talking about. That was humanize the athletes, you know, kind of got like behind the scenes with Sarah and all the different athletes and really kind of gave people a look into the emotional side of what goes on in like a typical sport. And people realize, oh, they're just people, right? And they've just worked really hard to become fit, and they're just like me in some ways. And so they maybe that's exactly what it was. And then also in September, what's the temperature in Canada? Maybe people are just staying inside, yeah. Right? Watching a lot of Netflix, and so maybe. They're like, you know what?
Maybe it's after the summer.
Yeah, we better get to the gym.
Yeah, I think social media does a really good job at like you said, bringing the athletes closer to the fans, so the fans understand that they are really humans. And now with obviously Instagram and Snapchat and everything, you get a window into their everyday life, and you can see that they do just normal things like everybody else. And then they look at that and say, okay, well, you know what? Maybe I'll just call my local affiliate and go get some CrossFit in.
All right. Speaking of social media, besides Beyond the Barbell, who is your favorite follow?
Well, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's some like unknown Canadian hockey player that's just like bashing his face in every day.
Do you follow Jerry of the Day?
I do not.
It's really funny. It's just it's skiing stuff. It's all like absolute people just yard sailing and skiing all the time. I follow that. That's a good laugh every day.
Like, who's my favorite follower?
No, who's your favorite person to follow?
I enjoy following like The Rock. People like they're posting.
Love The Rock.
Yeah, he's great. Like, his posts are really funny all the time. But other than that, I don't know.
Like, I feel like with CrossFitters, like, yeah, like I follow Paul. I don't follow Albert yet, but I will. You see a lot of the same stuff. You know, it's like, oh, it's pretty. It's like impressive. Like, somebody PR'd, that's awesome. Like, give him a pat on the back. Or maybe it's like some coaching tips, like Sam Dancer is great about coming up with creative new ways to coach or whatever. But I think breaking away from like our sport and our world, that's what's most enjoyable, you know. Like you said, like yard sales. I mean, I can watch people just bailing all day, and The Rock is hilarious because he kind of like makes fun of himself, and
it's getting your head out of the gym too, and just like thinking about something else in CrossFit, like.
Or like Ben. Ben's kids are more famous than he is on Instagram because, I mean, they are. They're getting you away from it, and they're hilarious.
Yeah, be careful how much you put your kid on social media, because I've gotten probably, I don't know, 500 negative comments in the last, like, 3 months about my son lifting 125 pounds. He weighs 50 pounds, but, you know, what are you going to do?
I think that's a really funny part of social media too, the trolls and the comments that they put on. Like last week we
aren't you so glad you're a guy?
Oh man, it's crazy. Like, some of the stuff I sometimes just go for fun. I look at a lady's Instagram photo or video, and then I go read the comments. Like, some of them are so mean. Like, I just don't really understand why someone would do that. Like, they don't understand there's a human there, you know? Or even just last week Alex Smith posted a video. We were in Iceland last weekend, and of us doing like some butterfly pull-ups, and like the amount of comments, like, oh, not a pull-up was done that day, or, you know, oh, your shoulders are going to be destroyed, blah, blah, blah. Like, dude, think what you want. Just, you know, keep it to yourself.
Yeah, you're right. Like, it's like, it's hard to imagine deliberately just trying to be mean to somebody like that. Well, I mean, because there's no consequences, right? That's why it happens. There's no consequences.
You know what's a funny follow? Imam of the Day. We were talking about that. Jason Kalipa's impossible imams. I don't know who completes those. You know, like 37 calories on the minute every minute for 45 minutes. That's a good follow. That's a good one. I always have a really good laugh at that.
The Imam of the Day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Well, we talked to Jason on the show multiple times, and we train with him because he's in our area, and he's one. And you guys know him, of course. He's like one of the few people that I've ever met that I think actually like enjoys the feeling you get when you're really deep in a hard workout. You know, like the point where you ask yourself, why am I doing this? This was too hard. Like, and you, of course, you love it later, but in that moment, if you're honest, you're like, I hate this. And I don't think he ever actually says that. Like, I think he actually likes it. And that's just from watching him do it, because he can, it just seems like he enjoys it.
Yeah, there's definitely a moment in every single workout that you question your existence. And that's part of it, right? And in that moment, you can decide to actually love that feeling or hate that feeling. Because like you said, everyone loves it after. I can't say I'm one of those people. I probably hate that feeling right in the moment. I said, why the hell am I doing this? And then I just try and remind myself that it's fun. But then usually you don't really have that much time to think about it. You have another rep to do, so there's not that much thinking going on. You're pretty much blocked out anyway, so.
That's usually the answer people give is like, it's fun, that's why I do CrossFit, or I don't know. I don't know why I do CrossFit.
No idea.
Yeah, that's kind of where I fall into. But I've got to go warm up for the next workout. You guys, or our first workout, you guys got to get ready for that workout, because you got to beat us if you can. And but anyway, if people want to follow you guys, where should they go?
On Instagram, at Hoss Tremblay. On Twitter, same thing.
Hoss, H-O-S-S.
H-O-S-S, Hoss. That was my hockey nickname back in the day.
I love it.
Instagram, LaRoucheADM. So LaRoucheADM.
All right, guys. And we're at BTB Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Follow us. Go to iTunes. Download this episode and subscribe to the podcast. Give us a 5-star rating. And, guys, thanks for being on the show. We'll
thanks for having us.
We'll be cheering
awesome.
For you.
Yeah, thanks.